Thank you, Brad. Crucified with Christ. It's a strong contrast with the patterns of the world, isn't it? Because the patterns of the world are to climb the ladder, right? This is the last week of 5 weeks about climbing the ladder that matters. This week, I need a volunteer. Jill, if Emily wants to volunteer, it's up to you. I'll take Ryan. Come on up. Yeah. Come on up. All right. So Ryan, yeah, give him a round of applause. Here's Ryan coming up, volunteer. He's the next contestant. All right, Ryan, so when you came to church today, you want to climb the ladder? Okay, you hold the ladder. I have workman's comp, unless you want to do it.
I'll go.
All right. So hold on. We gotta remember now, since this is the last week, how do people in the world try to climb the ladder? What's that? One step at a time. How do we do it one step at a time? I've been talking about this for 5 weeks. Come on, I know you got ideas. Come on, let's go. What's that? Money. Okay, so take a step. Money. Okay, what else? Power. Yeah. Oh, and you got family dreams. You know, you're fulfilling somebody in your family's dreams, or maybe you've got your own broken heart that has to fulfill its dreams. Well, take another step. Yeah, what else? Husband? Success. Yeah, definitely success. Oh, I better start holding it here. Okay, what else? Yeah, go on, Ryan. Self-esteem. Yeah, we puff ourselves up, try to make ourselves look good, right? You ever been on Facebook? Yeah, it's all about me, isn't it? What else do we do?
Fame.
What's that?
Fame.
Yeah, you get a good name. Yeah, we could...
Yeah,
thanks, Mom, right? Yeah. Well, and then we go to big prestigious schools, right, and get the big fancy piece of paper, and we post it on the wall, right? Okay, well, you better get the education. And then what do? When we get that job? We're looking for what inside the company? Advancement, right. Yeah, you got to take the next step on the ladder, right? You got to do all these things. Oh, by the way, Ryan, this ladder's never been so extended in the front of church for the last week here. I thought I'd go for it. Well, here he is climbing the ladder of success. How is it up there?
It's kind of scary.
Yeah. That's because you're sensitized. You know that climbing just ladders of the world is kind of dangerous sometimes. Well, thank you, Ryan. You can come on down. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for helping us review. Climbing a ladder, it's worldly success. But the thing about worldly success is that, well, it's just worldly success. It's not the same thing as success from God. In fact, worldly success might not even be the blessing that you think it is. It's also not the same thing as success for God. Worldly success is not the same thing as success for God, because God may well have higher, better, bigger priorities for you than climbing the world's ladder. So all these past weeks, I've been critiquing climbing a ladder. But in the midst of that, I should also tell you there is a ladder that is worth climbing. And it would make you more like the greatest servant who ever lived. So today's passage is from Matthew 18. Matthew 18, we're going to climb a stairway of a sort, a certain kind. Matthew 18, and before I read the passage, girls, I need you to come up and just stand up here with me, because this passage makes no sense without you. Come on up. So you can turn, y'all, to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. There you go. You're doing well. You can stand and look at people. It's pretty easy, right? Yeah, even though it's kind of intimidating to be up here, right? Well, listen, here's what it says in Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had them stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Therefore, whoever humbles themselves like these children is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Thanks, girls. You can head down to children and worship. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You know, a lot of teachers say sometimes that there's no such thing as a stupid question. The disciples managed to find one, I think. They come to Jesus and they got this thing that's been on their minds. They're like, okay, let's approach him. Like they've got this planned out in their head. They come to him and they ask their big question. Okay, Jesus, we've been thinking about this for a long time. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Nope. Disciples, you are barely in the ballpark. Barely in the ballpark here. So Jesus calls the children to him and says, unless you become like little children, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Never mind about being the greatest or being the second best. You won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, that's rather shocking. And not only is it shocking because of just the way that Jesus says it, it's shocking because of the whole Jewish mentality about kids. So in the culture of that time, the Jewish way of doing things, you'd have a kid and you'd name them according to Jewish customs, and if you're a boy, you get circumcised on the eighth day. You'd go through these things. But they didn't really become a member of the covenant community of God's special people until they were about 12 or 13. That was when it all became official. And that's what's been translated or transmuted to today as far as the bar mitzvah, the bat mitzvah, right? You know about those kinds of occasions. That's about, you know, 12 or 13. That's when it happens. Well, it was similar in Jesus' day, and that's how you became a member of the community. So the disciples are asking, okay, we're in the community, and Jesus, we're pretty sure we're with the right person because we know you, and if we're associated with you, all right, we must be great. Let's find out who's the greatest. Let's do that part. Oh, disciples. Jesus brings in a little child and says, all right, I'm going to take somebody who's not even in what you think is God's people. They're only kind of in. And I'm going to tell you that unless you're like them, you can't even enter. Whoever wants to be like this child, this humble child who's only kind of part of God's people, that'll mean they're the greatest. So no, disciples, you've got it all wrong. You've got it all wrong. And the key, of course, as Jesus very clearly says, is humility. If you humble yourself like this child, then you can think about entering the kingdom of heaven. So it is that greatness is very much the wrong question. It's the wrong goal to have. So much so that it will keep you out of the kingdom entirely. It's as if when you chase greatness or climb the ladder of the world, what you're actually doing is the opposite of what God wants you to do. It's like you're playing for the other team, in fact. Well, sort of like this poor guy.
Na nézzük, Takács Zoltán és Sebők Zsolt egymással szemben.
It's Hungarian Joe.
Sebőknek voltak már óriási bravúrjai, és van még egy!
Oh, the own goal. Oh, it's like he's playing for the other team. Whose side is that guy on? Okay, so it's a penalty kick. This is an obvious one. But then it's like the player's instincts kick over. He sees a ball. He sees a net. He kicks it in. Yeah, but Pavel, whose side are you on, right? Oh, the tragedy, the shame, the humiliation. Well, if you're playing the world's ways in the church, you're actually playing as if you're playing for the other team. You're playing for the opposition if you're seeking greatness according to the world's team, according to the world's rules and not God's. And we do this. Everybody does it, right? It's like what the disciples are doing. What they're doing is they're trying to seek status. That's what they're after. They're trying to associate themselves with Jesus, which they've been doing for some time now, maybe a year or more. And then they're trying to figure out who's got the rank, who's number one, basically. They're name dropping. That's how they're approaching this. Okay, Jesus, we're with you. Hey, I'm associated with him. Yeah, we're the disciples. We are so us, right? That's what they're doing. And we do play this name-dropping thing once in a while, right? Like, for example, you know, I spent some time in an alley near a dumpster last weekend with Morgan Freeman. That changes the situation entirely, right? Well, I was in an alley near a dumpster with Morgan Freeman. Oh, well, then it must have been okay. Why were you in an alley near a dumpster with Morgan Freeman, right? Or even, you know, if you get into a discussion with somebody and you say something like this, oh, you know, that's a really interesting point, but haven't you read Maya Angelou, Nobel Prize winner? Right? We try to make ourselves look good by getting associated with people who are good or we think are good or important. We don't need to explain it because, you know, we're with them. We know people. We've got people. We understand people. And obviously, these other subordinates do not. We try to make ourselves look good by association. The association Jesus wants the disciples to make is very different. He wants to associate themselves with somebody who's very little, who is not very significant. And he says, you want to enter the kingdom of heaven? Let's start there. Be like this child. Be humble like this child. There just isn't room for any of this playing for rank, any of this status game. There just isn't room for it in the kingdom of God. And if you want to be great then, Jesus says, fine, be like this child. Well, wait a minute, Jesus. I thought that greatness was not something I was supposed to seek, so now you're telling me how to seek it? Well, Jesus is playing a little bit of a paradox game here. You know paradoxes, right? After we get through the name dropping, paradoxes. Those are things that don't seem to make sense at first. Like this picture of a sign that says, sign not in use. Think about it. Okay, that's a paradox. Or the Pinocchio paradox. Pinocchio says, my nose will grow now. Well, if he's telling the truth, his nose will grow, but we know the nose grows only when he tells a lie. But he's told the truth, so how can his nose grow? Because then it's true. But if it doesn't grow, then he's telling a lie, and his nose should grow. But if it grows, he's telling... Okay, you get the idea. Paradox, right? Things that don't seem to make sense. So Jesus is doing that a little bit with greatness here. The disciples come to him, say, how can we be great, Jesus? Jesus says, it's not about greatness, guys. And then he closes in verse 4 with... whoever humbles themselves like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus is trying to do is get these disciples to think a little bit. He wants to sweep away all the previous categories, all the previous ways of thinking, and what's in their hearts, and he wants to renew them from within with something different, something perhaps that's really great. And then Jesus goes on to teach them all through the rest of chapter 18. And when you get home today, I want you to go and read chapter 18. Read it at your meal, read it alone, read it together. Go home and read Matthew chapter 18 today. If you do nothing else for the rest of your day, do that, okay? Because Jesus here, after introducing this problem to the disciples, don't chase greatness, and here's how to do it, he tells them how. He tells them a couple parables about how to treat one another. He tells them, first of all, later in that chapter, a parable about a lost sheep. That a good shepherd will leave the 99 who are in and go seek the one who is lost. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Values are put in the low things of the world, not the things that the world values. Why not protect the 99? Rule of the majority. Whatever's the most good for the most sheep, right? It's not the way the kingdom works. This shepherd goes and seeks the lost. Isn't it written that God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong and the foolish things of the world to shame the wise? What about the humble things of the world to shame the proud? You see, Jesus is teaching greatness. Because unless you become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And whoever humbles themselves like a child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus goes on. If someone offends you, you have to go and talk to that person and work it out with them in private. If you're offended, usually you want the other person to come to you, right? Because you're the wronged party. If anything, you could take it further. You could start building an army of your supporters. You could use that to leverage something in the relationship with this other person, make them look bad. Jesus says, no, that's not how the kingdom is. You go... put yourself in a vulnerable position be humble as the offended party and go talk to this person and work it out with them. Unless you become like a humble child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. There's one more parable, a little story that Jesus tells about a servant whose debt gets forgiven. The servant then also has somebody who owes him a little bit and says, "No, you have to pay me everything you owe." Well, his boss finds out about it. Says, "I don't think so." You see, there's no room for pride in the kingdom of heaven. Not in the church. You can't run around the world saying, "Well, you know, I'm important because I'm a Christian and you're not." Oh, no. There's no room for that, because unless you become like a humble child, you will not even enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you would be great, if you would be self-important, forget that, be God-important. Humble yourself. Be like a child in that respect, and you will be great in the kingdom of heaven. Basically, what I would say that Jesus is doing is that he's inverting the ladder. He's changing what the goal is. It's not status in the world, it's status in the kingdom. But how you achieve status in the kingdom isn't by what you've done. It's by humility and what God has done for you. And so to obey Jesus, to follow him, to call yourself one of his, is to eschew, is to push away those desires in you for power and fame and wealth. It might come to you as Christians. It might come to you, those things, but they should come to you by God's hand, not because you're chasing them ahead of you're chasing God. No, greatness in the kingdom is found entirely elsewhere. It's found in a place like a bar. We'll get to the passage in a moment. A place like a bar. A few years ago, there's a young man sitting at a bar. He goes there every day after work. And he has a few, more than a few. He gets drunk every day after work, sits at the bar. He's been doing this for a few years. He's very much an alcoholic. And his coworkers know that this is what this guy does. This is just who he is. He wakes up hungover the next morning, straggles into work, kind of does his job. Okay. And then there's a young lady one day who walks up and sits next to him at the bar. Where's this story going to go? The young lady orders a water and a soda pop. And she sits with him while he slowly gets drunk that day. It happens again the next day. And the day after, and the day after. This goes on for weeks on end. This young lady sits next to the drunk guy at the bar, one of her coworkers, actually. This is how she knows about it. She's decided that she's going to be there. She's going to listen to him, even to when his speech gets slurred, and listen and listen. And after weeks and weeks of this, this young man breaks down in the midst of his drunken stupor and just turns to her and says, "Why are you doing this? Why are you sitting with me, this drunk lowlife, every day after the workday? Why are you wasting your time on me?" She says, "I think God wanted me to." You see, back a few weeks, she'd been in church, and her pastor had said, "Go seek out the lost and the least. Go seek out the undesirables and show God's love to them." She prayed her way through it and said, "I think I have to get to know this guy at my work who is totally lost." So she sat with him at the bar every day for weeks before he even noticed anything, even wondered why she was doing it. And she could tell him then, "I think I need to. Yeah, my pastor suggested that I should go seek out somebody to love in God's name, in Jesus' name. But I prayed through it, and I think God wants me to be here because he loves you." I know this story because that young man is on a church staff at a mega church in Holland, Michigan. He became a Christian. They started dating. He married her. Now, I don't recommend that, you understand, but that's very complicated. But the Lord obviously had something in mind. It didn't make the young lady look good. You don't go to bars and hang out with drunk people if you can help it, right? Well, what if that's the place that God has for you? What if he intends to work redemption through you and through his love in you? It doesn't make you look good, but it sure makes God look good, doesn't it? That's how to climb the ladder differently. The priorities of the world are to be inverted. It's not about status, wealth, your dream home, your competence, your family, your education. No, it's written, associate with people of low position. It's written, consider others better than yourselves. It's written, humble yourself like a little child. You will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Of course, we have Jesus, who is the greatest servant of all. A few chapters later in Matthew chapter 20, the disciples have to get another dose of humility because they haven't quite absorbed what's there. So here's Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it that you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at the left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup that I will drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared by my Father." Well, when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's what he came to do, Jesus. He came to serve. This is very much a paradoxical kingdom. Something's upside down here. Something's different. Something's inverted. But here's Jesus, through whom all things were created. He became one of his own creations. His creations thought he was a celebrity at first, but then they deserted him. They hated him. They fought him. They had him arrested. They beat him. They mocked him. They killed him. He came to serve, not to be served. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. For all of us proud people, for all of us who think we've got it together, for all of us who have spent our lives on something that doesn't really matter or amount to much in the end, the servant came. He came not to judge and not to destroy, because he could have done that, but he came to save. Because his love for you was so strong, he had to give himself up and pay the ransom. And it's not something you earned. It's not something you climbed your way up to. He did it precisely because he knew you didn't deserve it. That's what we call grace. That is greatness in the kingdom of God. So let go. Let go of trying to make yourself something in the world. And realize that God can make you more than you ever dreamed. He can make you something in the world, to be sure, but it's not to be pursued that way. Because being a servant of Christ, being one of his followers, it will crush your pride. And it will give you a very humble heart for love alone. But unless you become like a humbler child, you will never even enter the kingdom of heaven. This week, I think probably for all of you, the Spirit of God is going to put someone who is of little account in your life. Because if you're at school, there's going to be the unpopular kid. At the workplace, there's going to be the coworker at break that nobody wants to sit next to, let alone talk to. Or you're going to be driving down the street and you're going to see somebody. Humble yourselves, that you may be the sons and daughters of your Father in heaven, and brothers of Christ who humbled himself. Because here's the thing about the ladder. There is a ladder to greatness. But you know where it goes. Amen. Pray with me. Lord God, all these things we cling to that we think make us somebody, they're not really much at all, are they? Lord, humble our hearts, knowing that you have a gift for us that we cannot deserve and we cannot earn and we cannot achieve. That in Christ who came to serve, he served us by dying for our sins, by being killed for our shame. And now, in humility only, can we receive grace, a whole kingdom, forgiveness, promise of eternal life. Lord God, humble us in order to raise us up to Christ. Crucify us with him and raise us with him day by day, so that in all things he may be Lord and Master. Father God, may we climb the ladder that matters to be great in the kingdom of heaven, which is to be great in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.